Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
To keep the law with all the do's and don'ts. Tradition held since who knows when became our cornerstone. The clothes we wore so modestly and the many songs we sang. We hoped and prayed that God was pleased with the things we did for him. But in chapter 6, the book of John, the Holy Word explains the works of God that we must do that is pleasing unto him. Believe in him whom he has sent. Jesus said to them, come to me, the bread of life, and never thirst again. Jesus is the answer my heart's been looking for. In the pages of his holy word I'd never seen before. My heart now sees what he did for me when he died on Calvary. My faith, I believe, my sins he forgave. Now heaven's my guarantee. Don't ignore the pleading sound knocking on the door. He's the one, the only one that can satisfy your soul. Come and pray, don't delay, he's all you'll ever need. Eternity depends today on the choices that you make. Cause I have found the answer my heart's been looking for. In the pages of his holy word I've never seen before. My heart now sees what he did for me when he died on Calvary. By faith I believe my sins he forgave. Now heaven's my guarantee. Jesus is the answer my heart's been looking for. In the pages of his holy word I've never seen before. My heart now sees what he did for me when he died on Calvary. My faith, I believe, my sins he forgave. Now heaven's my guarantee. Jesus is the answer my heart's been looking for. In the pages of his holy word, I've never.
Before I get into this message today, I want to explain something that's happening in America. There's a great spike of COVID-19. Many, many people they claim are testing positive. But here's something I saw on the news just today. That in some places they tested positive for COVID-19. They tested positive 95%. But instead of being 95%, when they rechecked it, it was 5%. And that happens all over Florida and the rest of North America. There is so much cheating on. And the reason they're doing this is to keep the people in fear, to keep the people confused. And the reason that is happening is that the globalists are trying to keep everybody in fear. They're trying to keep everybody confused. They're even trying to keep the children from going to school so that they can be rioting on the streets. And that will only happen till November, when the election of America again will be held. And then these things will be over. So they're still desperately trying to bring in a one world government by defeating Donald Trump, who is put there by God to stop them. Well, one thing I want the people who are listening to know that God is in control. The one world government system will come into play when the Lord Jesus Christ himself will take the scroll from the hand of him that sits on the throne and will start to unveil the plan that God has for the end time tribulation, which will last for 7 years. For those who are interested, can start studying chapter 6 of Revelation. It is quite an incredible book that God has placed into our hands. And until that happens, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, occupy till I come. That means to preach the gospel to every creature that is on the face of the earth. For he is getting ready to close down this incredible time that we are in. Yes, before that happens, we will see an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Many, many will turn to the Lord. So reach out in any way you can to those around you, telling them that Jesus is about to come for his bride. And the Lord is willing that none perish. He is willing that none go through the tribulation. But alas, many will. And many will go into the eternal lake of fire because they reject God and because they hate God. So open your heart to this. So before we get into the message I'm going to preach today, I'll ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. And I ask you, Lord, that you will open people's hearts to the signs of the times. I thank you for the word of God. And I ask you, Lord, that people will understand what you're trying to tell us through your word. I thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the years, I've been teaching on the grace of God, assurance of salvation, and people needing to understand who they are in Christ Jesus. There's an interesting scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. That means let him be damned, let him be cursed. When I talk to people about the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and about the grace of God, there are many who seem to think that we have to somehow keep ourselves. We have to teach that people need to be living for God. I want to put it in another way. If a person doesn't live for God, that means he doesn't really love the Lord Jesus Christ. If a person loves the Lord Jesus Christ, if a person is born again by the Spirit of God, there's going to be a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't really have to tell him to live a godly life, because he will live for the one he loves. This is as simple as I can make it. If a person says he loves the Lord Jesus Christ and lives for the devil, he's telling us a lie. So it's useless to argue with people like that. It's useless to even tell them to repent, because they know the truth, but they do not want to operate righteously. But here is something that people need to understand. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Bible teaches us, let him be damned, let him be accursed. So this is something we need to understand. So for you pastors out there, if you're forever trying to convince people to live godly and righteously, and you're fighting a losing battle, just look at it this way. If they don't know the Lord, if they don't love the Lord, then it's useless to talk to them. They know the truth, but they don't want to follow the truth. And this is my take on serving the Lord. You either love Jesus or you don't. One of the two. So God wants us to understand these things. And I believe that is throughout the church world. There are people who pretend to know God and their lifestyle proves it. And there are people who truly love God and are very disappointed when they do fall into sin. So for those of you who love Jesus, I want to give you an encouragement today. I want to show you the grace of God, because Satan, as a rule, does a pretty good job of coming against you throughout the week. He's there to accuse you. He's there to bring you down. And I am here to encourage you that Jesus loves you. In Romans chapter 18, verse 1, it tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This is talking about a person who has accepted salvation by grace through faith. I will simply paraphrase it like this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them, to those that are born again. For you are free in Christ. But if you're not born again, then you are not free. You're lost in death and sin. That's as simple as one can make this scripture. So we need to understand, if you have become born again, you're free. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Because if you are in Christ Jesus, you will walk according to the Spirit. In Romans chapter 18, verse 3, it tells us, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, it says, it condemned sin in the flesh. So if you're born again by the Spirit of God, then Jesus condemned the sin that is in your flesh. He condemned the sin that you committed. It has no hold on you anymore as far as your salvation is concerned, because God nullified the power of sin. It tells us that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here again, for those who are born again by the Spirit of God, that law is fulfilled in us. So we need to understand clearly that once you're born again, Jesus destroyed the sin in our flesh. Even though it would be there, it's destroyed. It has no power over us. So now we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have been freed from the bondages of sin and death by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now it tells us the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. The righteousness of the law is this: perfection. You have to keep it perfectly to be righteous in the law. And it is fulfilled in us through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus was our righteous sacrifice. That's how Christianity works. You need to understand these things. And once your eyes and ears open to this, you will then become free to live for God. In Romans chapter 18, verse 5, it tells us, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." This scripture simply means if you're not born again, regardless how you try, you cannot please God. You can be as religious as possible. It's still not good enough. Because your carnal mind needs to be changed by the Spirit of God. It is enmity. It is an enemy towards God. It has to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can become a child of the King. God makes us, gives us this revelation here. When we're in the family of God, we inherit whatever God has for us. It's like a family here on earth. Whoever is born into that family inherits what the family has. That is how it usually is. Romans chapter 18, verse 9 tells us this. "But you," he's talking to the Christian, "you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." This is what Romans chapter 8 brings forth. Listen to how clear the Bible makes this incredible situation. It tells us, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you." So there's no maybe, if, or but on who you are and how you are if you're born again by the Spirit of God. But if you're not born again by the Spirit of God, it tells us, "Now if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So make sure you're born again. Because if you're not, then you don't belong to him, regardless how holy and how you try to live for God. You need to be born into the family of God to be a partaker of what God has for you. Otherwise, it's not going to work. I have been preaching this over and over again, but there are still people who don't seem to understand what true Christianity is. You're still trying to somehow improve on their own lives so that they will be accepted by God. I want to say this, you'll never get more holy than the blood of Jesus Christ can make you. In your own efforts and in your own ideas, you cannot do it. It has to be Jesus that'll do it. So open your heart to these things. For those of you who are not born again, you have no chance of entering into the kingdom of God. You need to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You need to divorce that old man and accept the new one. You need to get married to Jesus. You need to become his bride to be a partaker of this heavenly kingdom. So open your heart to these incredible truths and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
I've been transplanted from the kingdom of evil through Jesus, the only atonement for sin. Assured in keep me and never let go. redemption was paid for all eternity. His love everlasting is faithful and true. Pardon, forgiveness for me and for you. I've been transplanted from the kingdom of evil through Jesus, the only atonement for sin. Assured in his promises that he is able to keep me and never let go of my hand. Now his presence so sweet draws closer. I walk in his will to be more like him. Every day's a love song that my heart sings. I rejoice in each victory that I found in him. I've been transplanted from the kingdom of evil through Jesus, the only atonement for sin. Assured in his promises that he is able to keep me and never let go of my hand. Assured in his promises that he is able to keep me and never let go of my hand. He'll keep me and never let go of my hand.
Romans chapter 7 in verse 1, the Bible clearly explains how Christianity works. It's talking about a man and a woman being married, and then one dies, and then you marry another. I will read you the scripture and then explain it. You need to listen closely to this so that you will understand what God truly means by becoming part of the kingdom of God, by becoming a part of his family. It tells us, "Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he live. But if the husband be dead, she is loosened from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband live, she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband is dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress because she be married to another man." What this is trying to explain to us here is this. A woman that is married to a man is married to him as long as he lives. But once the man dies, she then gets married to another man. Then she belongs to that man. She is not an adulteress. She doesn't commit any sin. She is legally married to that person when her first husband dies. So it is with us human beings. When Jesus Christ destroyed the law on the cross of Calvary, it destroyed the works of the law on the cross of Calvary. Jesus killed the law. The Bible teaches us the ordinances that were written against us, he took them out of the way and nailed them to the tree. Now our old husband, our former wife is dead. Our former husband is dead. It was nailed to the tree and was crucified. But now, once it's dead, we are free to marry another. And that is to get married to Jesus, the one who destroyed the first husband, the law. This is as simple as I can explain it. We then become a new creation. We then receive a new title. Once we're married to Jesus, we receive his name, we receive his title, and then we receive his DNA. We become part of him. Now, sin has no more dominion over us. It cannot touch us anymore. It cannot cause us to lose our salvation. It cannot bring us into damnation or into condemnation. We are now married to Christ because God, through Jesus Christ, has destroyed our former husband. He destroyed the law, the works of the law, at the cross of Calvary. So now we can live for God free from sin without condemnation. But let's say we do sin. Let's say we do fall into sin while we're married to Christ. What happens to us? Romans chapter 7, verse 17 gives us a very clear picture on how this works. It tells us like this. You need to pay a close attention to this scripture. Now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil that I would not do, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. So you see, before we became born again, we were seeking for sin. We were trying to look for ways to commit sin. But now we're in Christ Jesus. We're trying to steer ourselves away. When a person who's born again falls into sin, he condemns himself. He doesn't feel good about himself. And he will always try to improve on himself. But look what the Bible says. It is no more I that sins, but sin that dwells in me. I didn't write this. The Holy Spirit wrote that. So we need to believe it. I cannot sin anymore. If I belong to Jesus, and if I sin, even if I sin, it is not me that sins, but sin that dwells in me. So regardless what happens to the born-again believer, your salvation has been secured by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to open our hearts and our eyes to these incredible truths and become a blessing to ourselves. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G2. My shame, right?